This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. Honorable scholars and du'at, respected dignitaries, the Connect Institute team, and at the top of them, Brother Wa'il Ibrahim, someone who I love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, here in the Philippines that make up the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I greet you with the greetings of peace. Are you ready to receive this greeting? Okay. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. They say first impressions are lasting impressions. And the way you responded to the salam, it's going to last. Because many countries I go to, when the salam is offered at the beginning of the talk, everyone is... They're just mumbling. So that's why I sort of prepare the people for the salam in hope that they'll respond. MashaAllah, you did very well. And I always say, you see, what's going to happen is afterwards, people are going to watch this lecture via these recordings that are taking place right now. Now, if I make the salam, the camera can't see you guys, right? So the people will not see you. And if I make the salam and nobody answers, what will happen? The people on YouTube will say the sheikh was in the Philippines talking to himself. So we can't, alhamdulillah, we've sorted that dilemma. Walillahi alhamd. Tayyib, my dear brothers and sisters, let's give this a try, inshallah. Salamat po. That's a thank you for responding to my salam. Okay? Magandang hapon. Don't laugh. Answer the question. Was it a question? So I said it correctly, alhamdulillah. Tayyib, here's a question. Kumusta kayo? Barakallahu feekum. Barakallahu feekum. This is my first trip here to the Philippines, and no doubt for me, it's always emotional when it's a first, because you see it as a first chance to raise the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a land. To raise the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a land. And indeed, I am humbled by the opportunity, wallahi I am, and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this gift, first and foremost. And then I extend a heartfelt gratitude to Connect Institute for their kind invite. From the outset, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from me this standing. Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the efforts of Connect Institute and all the other da'wah efforts in this wonderful land. Ameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from each and every one of you here in attendance today. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a people that hear a good word and follows it. Say ameen. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a group of people that have not come here today except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a group of people that are forgiven upon our departure. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. I know this morning, this typhoon that is heading towards the Philippines, or as has made its way here was upgraded to a super typhoon. And mashallah, you guys are super, super. Because even though this typhoon was super and tough, you guys proved to be tougher, mashallah. And you came out of your homes and made it here. Walillahi alhamd, inshallah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, opening the talks for today's conference, I have been given a title that is a Quranic title, and alhamdulillah, all the other speakers that will speak here today have been given Quranic titles as well. The title of my topic is La'allakum Tuflihun. La'allakum Tuflihun. And I'm sure you've seen the theme of this conference titled Perhaps, right? And everyone is using the word perhaps. In fact, I never noticed the word perhaps being used so much before I came to the Philippines. I'm sure you heard even today on stage, mashallah, MC was saying perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. It might be a Filipino thing, I don't know. But nonetheless, we see it in the Quran. Perhaps you may be successful. Now, this is a very clever title, mashallah, and a very important title. And the reason why it's important, my dear brothers and sisters, first and foremost, is because it's a Quranic title. It makes up an ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us many things in the Quran, and then at the end he says la'allakum tuflihun, so that perhaps you may be successful. But there also is another reason, my dear brothers and sisters, why this title is important. And that reason is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in at least 11 ayat, he has said in his book la'allakum tuflihun. At least 11 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, perhaps you may be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 189, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, and be people of taqwa, be God conscious, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, you'll hear a little bit about taqwa later on today, because one of the titles for today is La'allakum tattaqoon. Perhaps you may be God conscious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in Surah Al-Baqarah, in this ayah number 189, he says, be God conscious of Allah so that perhaps you may be successful. In Surah Al-Imran, ayah number 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تأكلوا الربا أضعافا مضاعفة واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. Allah says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, do not eat usury or riba, do not consume riba, do not busy yourself with interest transactions, doubled and multiplied. Fear Allah that perhaps you may be successful. In Surah Al-Imran again, ayah number 200, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, be people of patience, right? Be people of patience and who are steadfast upon patience. And Allah says, be God conscious of Allah so that perhaps you may be successful. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wabtaghu ilayhi alwasilah wajahidu fi sabilihi la'allakum tuflihun. Allah says, O you who believe, be dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear Him and seek the means of approach to Him and strive hard in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you may be successful. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maysiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsum min amali shaytani fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, Indeed, intoxicants, all kinds of alcoholic drinks, and gambling, and al-ansab, and al-azlam. And this refers to the practice of the Arabs before, whereby they would use arrows to seek luck or to make a decision. Al-ansab wal-azlam, right? Before, there was a lot of superstition, before Islam. So they would, if they planned to travel, for example, they would come out of their home. If they saw a pigeon, they would throw a stone at it. If it flew right, they would make a decision and say, let's travel. If it flew left, they'd say, no, today is not a good day for traveling. Or they would use arrows. And depending on the direction of these arrows and how the arrows flew and fell, they would make their decisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is disallowed. So Allah says in this ayah, indeed all types of intoxicants and gambling and all this seeking or all these means of making decisions which are un-Islamic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are a filth and they from the evil of shaytan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, so avoid this filth and evil of shaytan. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Perhaps you may be successful. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 100, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad, not equal are the al-khabith and the at-tayyib, meaning that which is filthy and impure cannot be equal to that which is pure. Right? That which is impure cannot be equal to that which is pure, cannot be the same as that which is pure. Allah says, be God conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that perhaps you may be successful. In Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 69, Allah says, اذكروا آلاء الله لعلكم تفلحون. Allah mentions a prophet from his prophets, telling his people, remember the graces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Remember the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Why? لعلكم تفلحون. So that perhaps you may be successful. I want you to follow with me, my dear brothers and sisters. We're traversing through the Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah. Now we've reached Surah Al-A'raf. Allah time and time again is saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ So that perhaps you may be successful. In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم فئة فاثبتوا واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, when you meet the enemy, when you meet the army that has come to destroy you, take a firm stance against them and remember the name of Allah abundantly. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ So that perhaps you may be successful. In Surah Al-Hajj, we're moving on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah number 77, He says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ
O you who believe, bow down and prostrate yourselves and worship your Lord. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ So that perhaps you may be successful. In Surah An-Nur, ayah number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ
And all of you, all you believers, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Return to Allah and seek forgiveness so that you may be successful or perhaps you may be successful. In Surah Al-Jumu'ah, ayah number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ
Allah says, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly so that perhaps you may be successful. I can't think of a better way to drive the message home. Why listen to my speech when you can hear the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At least 11 places in his book, from the beginning of the Quran till the end of the Quran, a Muslim who reads it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time and time again reminds us to do certain acts of worship so that perhaps we may be successful. And you know what's interesting, my dear brothers and sisters, and O servants of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say it once. He didn't say it twice. He could have said it three times. We know three is a special number in our sharia, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to do things three times. Three times is a lot. Allah could have told us three times and commanded us towards certain actions and taught us the reason of being successful three times. Allah chose 11 times. Why? You know why, my dear brothers and sisters? Because it's important that we are from the successful. And you and I as human beings, whenever something is important, it means a lot to us that we repeat ourselves. Not so? How many of us are parents here in the audience? Put up your hand if you're a parent. Don't do the half thing. Put it up so I can see you. MashaAllah. Many of you are parents. For those who are not parents, may Allah make you parents soon. Ameen. And for those who cannot be parents because they're not married, may Allah grant you pious spouses soon. Ameen. And for those who are not old enough to get married, may Allah grant you barakah in your life. Ameen. So, as parents, what do we do, my dear brothers and sisters, when our children come home from school with homework? Do we not say, did you do your homework? He says, yes, I did my homework. Are you sure? Yes. A few minutes later, are you sure you did your homework? I didn't see you doing your homework. Yes, I did my homework. Okay, did you do your homework properly? Say, yes, I did my homework. What are we doing? We repeat. It's important, isn't it? Right? Like, for example, prayer. We tell our child, did you pray your salah? Yes. When did you pray? Are you sure you prayed? Did you pray your salah? It's important. We repeat ourselves. Right? Even at work, important instructions, we find there are follow-ups all the time. Right, Brother Wael? I'm sure you are following up with the Connect Institute team here. Right? To make sure that it's happened, this is a very, very important matter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that sense, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. See, the Quran speaks to us. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us better than we know ourselves. Right? And we are a creation that are quick to forget. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's an important matter, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us time and time again. You know, take the example of taqwa. Taqwa, and you'll hear the talk later on today, Allah commands us time and time again towards taqwa. Subhanallah. Right? Because taqwa is hard and it's very important. Right? How many times has Allah commanded us to fast the month of Ramadan in the Quran? How many times? You can count it on your fingers. How many times has Allah mentioned Ramadan in the Quran, which is a pillar from the pillars of Islam? You can count them on one hand, subhanallah. But taqwa, uncountable. Why? Because fasting is easy, but taqwa is hard and important. Right? It doesn't mean if you fast, you'll be from the people of taqwa. Right? So the same thing here. Right? We have to be successful. And Allah is repeating it to us because it's important. It's important. Right? So this is another reason why this talk is important. And another reason that explains in one way or another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeating to us time and time again, be successful, be successful, be successful. Now, you know what, my dear brothers and sisters? If we look in the Quran and these ayat that I've recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I want to just further this discussion because we've said how important being successful is. If you look in the Quran, Allah doesn't command us to just success, which in the Arabic language we call najah or najaha, right? Which is success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to all of success, absolute success, which is falah, right? Now, falah in the Arabic language is made up from the letters fa-la-ha. Fa-la-ha. And I really love the fact that you guys are writing down things. This is important because you came here to learn, right? So this is a very important step and another good impression, mashallah, you all have made upon me, mashallah, the fact that you're writing. So falaha is the makeup, or are the letters that make up the term falah. And in the Arabic language, words that come from these letters, they refer to cutting into something, or cracking something open, or finding way into something, or opening something up. Right? This is what it refers to. Falah. So why has Allah used the term falah, which we have loosely translated as successful? Why? Let's think about it. And just to help you answer this question, in the Arabic language, a farmer is described with a word that is made up from falaha as well. Falah. This is the name of a farmer. Why is the farmer given this name as well? Because the farmer is cracking open the land under the hot sun with his pick from beginning of the day till the end of the day. He's opening the land so he can plant his seeds, awaiting the rainfall so that he can experience a mighty harvest. For that harvest to come, that Jannah in this dunya, right? Of course, when there's abundant rainfall and abundant harvest, we feel at ease and we feel peaceful, right? And as our scholars say, rahmatullahi alayhim, they say the two most important things to mankind are food and security. Two things, food and security. If you can fill your belly and you can leave your home in peace for that day, you are a person in a lot of goodness. You're a person who doesn't have high blood pressure. May Allah protect us from high blood pressure. Ameen. Just yesterday they were, mashallah, when I got here, the brothers from Connect Institute, they put a high blood pressure machine on me. They were checking my pressure. I don't know. Maybe they thought the traffic would have adverse consequences on me after arrival. I don't know. But khair, a person who has food and security, this person's at peace. And just for your information, the scholars have derived these two elements from another surah in the Quran, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. Because Allah says, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Allah commands us to worship the Lord of the Kaaba, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who protected the Quraysh from poverty and hunger and protected them from fear of insecurity. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And that's a footnote, عَلَى كُلِّ حَال. But the farmer, coming back to our discussion, is known as the farmer because he has to toil and the fruits of his toil are mighty. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us towards al-falah. Teaching us what, my dear brothers and sisters? That getting into Jannah, is it easy like coming to the Philippines? Or does it need work? What do you think? Are you guys there? Knock, knock, knock. I didn't learn that in Tagalog. How do you say that in Tagalog? Is it easy to get to Jannah, or is effort required? Effort is required. If going to Jannah was as easy as coming to the Philippines, then alhamdulillah, we'd all be in Jannah. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah. Ameen. So my dear brothers and sisters, Allah is reminding us time and time again. Why? Because being successful, or grabbing onto absolute success, needs hard work. Now, what is the meaning of this falah? When Allah says, perhaps you may be successful, somebody might ask, okay, so what is success? What is success? In the Quran, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe success, or we see the scholars sometimes describe success using a description of Jannah, which they call absolute success or falah. Or sometimes they describe it using the name of Jannah itself, which is Jannah. This is the reality, right? And through these explanations that I've shared, we must imagine Jannah as this precious pearl that we need to crack into. You see? And to crack into this pearl, you need to till your land from one end to the other, under the hot sun, with your pick. Meaning, you need to live in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be upon the do's and stay away from the don'ts and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to stay away from. Now subhanallah, if we ponder over this, we'll realize that, you know what? Remaining upon the do's is hard work. And staying away from sin is hard work as well. And this is why I'm amazed by people. They give up. They say, you know, this sin is getting the better of me. It's too hard for me to leave it. And they're giving up. I say, why are you acting as if leaving it was easy in the first place? Why? Leaving it entails Jannah. And Jannah entails hard work. Subhanallah. Does this make sense, my dear brothers and sisters? Right? If you want to bring a good act into your life, against, you see people giving up. They give up. They say, I'm trying 1 week, 10 days, 15 days. I'm trying to do this act. I'm trying to become regular with the Quran. It's not happening. I'm giving up. Why are you giving up, brother? Why are you giving up, sister? Who said bringing this habit into your life was easy? No, it wasn't easy. It needs work. It needs application. Shaytan is going to come visit you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test you. Right? You have to go through the teething period. To get to Jannah, we have to go through a teething period, which is life on this dunya. And this life entails effort, mandates effort. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. Allah likens us to that farmer. Allah likens our journey to Allah, to the farmer who's tilling his land. It's not easy, but you have to toil until you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the dunya. It's not Jannah, which has everlasting happiness. Nor is it Jahannam, which has everlasting doom. Forgive me, when I say Jannah and look here, and then say Jahannam and look here, nobody must think that I'm busy sending these people to Jannah and sending these people to Jahannam. No, no. Don't be mistaken, brothers and sisters. It's just a reflex. It just happened by itself. But you get my point. We live in the dunya. The dunya has days which are for us. And it has days which are against us. It has days that are high and days which are low. Sometimes we need to wake up and produce 90% effort to remain upon the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we wake up, only 10% effort is required, alhamdulillah. Like in Ramadan. In Ramadan, everyone's reading Quran. Everybody's looking after the sunnah al-rawatib. Everyone is grabbing onto the means of success. And it's so easy. But after Ramadan, it gets difficult. This is the norm of the dunya. Right? Now, my dear brothers and sisters, if we look at the ayat that I recited, you will see that in many places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be people of taqwa, so perhaps you may be successful. Not just any success, but absolute success. Because Jannah is success in every angle of the term and the concept. It's not like what you and I call success in the dunya, which is very relative, right? It's relative in the dunya. Someone can be a successful doctor, but an unsuccessful father. Correct or incorrect? Correct. Somebody can be a successful student, but an unsuccessful sportsman. Correct or incorrect? Right? So it's very relative. But with Jannah, it's successful in every angle, every dimension you can think about it. It's a win-win situation. It's all of success. And this is what Allah calls us to. To get that Jannah, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to persevere. We have to go to a place that only the brave people go to. As I said, if getting to Jannah was easy as coming to the Philippines or knocking the door of a house and it opens, we'll all be in Jannah. No, it needs excellence. It needs effort. It needs perseverance. It needs you to do that which the other people aren't doing. Yes. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَىٰ. Glad tidings to who? The strange people. Why do they get the glad tidings of Jannah, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And we must say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we hear the word Muhammad or any description of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why has he given them glad tidings, the strange people? Because they are doing strange things. They are doing things that the masses aren't doing. When the masses are eating, they are fasting. And by the way, we're in the month of Muharram, right? One of the special months for fasting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely diligent and in terms of fasting in the month of Muharram, right? And we have the day of Ashura, which is coming. Whoever fasts that day, the 10th of Muharram, Allah will forgive 1 year of his or her sins. Right? So, these people fast when everybody else eats. These people are awake, worshipping Allah at night when everyone else sleeps. They are the strange ones. They are people who have amazing speech and amazing character when everybody else is vulgar in their speech or their character. They are the strange ones. This is the strange I'm talking about, by the way. Don't mistake me for any other strange, please. Right? We're talking about halal strange. Right? So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives glad tidings to those who are persevering. Persevering. Right? And every ayah I recited to you today, you would have seen in it Allah commanding us towards something or warning us against something. Allah commands us to remember Him frequently so that perhaps we may be successful. Allah commands us to stay away from haram so that perhaps we may be successful. Allah commands us towards God consciousness so that perhaps you may be successful. And really, these are the three matters. Well, we can say the third matter is seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as you heard, Allah says, and all you believers seek forgiveness from Allah so that perhaps you may be successful. And when I looked at these ayat, I realized that the recipe or formula for success is three things. Number one, follow the commands of Allah. Number two, stay away from His prohibitions. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three things, my dear brothers and sisters. Three things. Never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because staying upon the do's is hard. And staying away from the don'ts is hard. If you slip, never lose hope in Allah. Turn back to Allah. Seek forgiveness from Allah so that perhaps you may be successful. These are the three formulas of success, my dear brothers and sisters. Now, how long do I have left for this talk? Who's counting the minutes? Because I have lost track. Anybody can help? How long? 5 minutes? No ways. I thought I was supposed to speak for 50 minutes. How long have I been speaking for? MashaAllah. Barakah in the Philippines, huh? Or is it lack of barakah or barakah? 45 minutes just went like this? Allahu Akbar. Khair. Inshallah, let's bring barakah into it and make my 5 minutes last about 15. Tayyib. My dear brothers and sisters, the formula of success is how many? Three things. What are they? Number one? No, all together. Number one? Follow the commands of Allah. Number two? Stay away from that which He has warned us against. Number three? All right, number three is very important. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. I want you to hang on to these three things. And before I end my talk, I want to share with you three other important matters that you must carry with you throughout these other three matters we've discussed. And these three things I call the three eyes of success. The three eyes of success. Let's go through them very quickly. The first eye of success is the eye of ikhlas, or being sincere. You need to have this eye during every second of your waking day and every second of your sleeping night. And this eye entails you living your life in such a way that you make your life a waqf. You make your life an endowment. You make your life solely for the sake of Allah. That your sleeping is for His sake. Your speaking is for His sake. Your waking is for His sake. Your dressing is for His sake. Your eating is for His sake. Your study is for His sake. Everything about your life is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important, my dear brothers and sisters. And this mandate comes from La ilaha illallah. That there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Right? And we've just learned that to be from the successful, we have to make our entire life the worship of Allah. If our entire life is the worship of Allah, then our entire life can only be for the sake of Allah. Because La ilaha illallah means we don't worship anyone but Allah. We never do something for fame. We never do something for position in this world. Even our study at university. should not be for the certificate or the degree or the honor that comes because of the degree. It should be for who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose must be Allah. The result will be the degree, that's fine. The way to worship Allah will be our study in our degree, that's fine. But the purpose should be who? Allah. That's la ilaha illallah. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Right? Understand this. Make your life solely for Allah's sake. And I do know that we have direct acts of worship and we have indirect acts of worship. Right? Salah is a direct act of worship. We know that has to be for Allah. But I am saying, make the indirect matters of your life solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The winds are very strong outside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, when I say make your indirect practices of your life solely for the sake of Allah, I am saying make your going to the gym for the sake of Allah. Yes. You know the meal you cook for your family at home, make it for the sake of Allah. You know the cake you put in the oven, make it for the sake of Allah. That way you will never lose. And that way you can live for today and tomorrow at the same time. And this is the power a Muslim has only. A non-Muslim doesn't have this, the ability to live for today and tomorrow at the same time. Only a Muslim has this. The ability to live for today and build your Jannah at the same time. Only a Muslim can have this, my dear brothers and sisters. Right? Only a Muslim. The problem with us, my dear brothers and sisters, is shaitan has made us go to the gym like everyone else goes to the gym. Has made us study our degree like everybody else studies their degree. They're studying for the certificate, I'm studying for the certificate. They're studying for the job, I'm studying for the job. That's what it is. And we are doing ourselves a disservice. We need to be those people that when we live in this dunya, our Jannah feels us. Our paradise feels us. Even though we're not there, but it feels us. Every time we speak, it moves. Every time we move, it moves. Every time we breathe, it moves. Why? Because it gets more beautiful and more beautiful and more beautiful every time we worship Allah, and we have made our every breath the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that make sense, my dear brothers and sisters? You know, think of the little pebble you throw into the pond, right? You might have thrown it to this part of the pond, but how does the other part of the pond know that a pebble was thrown? How? Because of the ripples. When you threw that pebble, the ripples were formed and they expanded and expanded until they got to the other end. When they got to the other end, the water at the other end of the pond knew that, you know what? A stone was thrown into me. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Right? This is the way we should be connected to our Jannah. That our Jannah feels us before we get there. Somebody might be saying, what's wrong with Sheikh Sajid? Yani, what's he talking about? When I go to the gym, I can build Jannah? And running on the treadmill, I can build Jannah? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, me putting a cake in the oven, my Jannah can get more beautiful? Yes, it can get more beautiful. If you made it for the sake of Allah. You know, sometimes the youth say, Sheikh, going to the gym is hard. How can we make it easy? I say, let me tell you how. When you're on the treadmill, intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't say, I'm running to lose weight. Have a more substantial intention. That, Ya Allah, I am running to keep fit because a stronger Muslim is more beloved to you than a weaker one. Now you've made it for Allah. Every calorie that goes up on the treadmill is one tree in Jannah. Imagine that 1, 2, 3, 4 being trees in Jannah. Who wants to get off the treadmill now? Right? Now we're going to have to be pulling people off the treadmill because now you see purpose. Otherwise, you know, the one thing that doesn't go very fast is the calorie count on the treadmill. And some people say, Sheikh, I eat a chocolate, it takes me 1 minute. But to burn the calories of the chocolate, half an hour is not enough. I say, khair, to make it fun, intend Allah. You know, when you cook for your family, intend Allah. Even if... even if that cake is burnt, you haven't lost. Don't worry, you don't need to see me. As long as you can hear me, it's okay. Whatever Allah does, He does good, right? And we know there's a typhoon outside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. So even if that cake gets burnt, you've won because your Jannah has become more beautiful. Some people, the food gets spoiled. What happens? They get upset. I've been here cooking for 1 hour, half an hour, 45 minutes. Now I have to start again. We say, don't worry, my dear brother or my dear sister. Obviously, if the brothers are cooking, I don't know. But if they are, we say, don't worry, dear brother. Don't worry, dear sister. Do not worry at all. Because your Jannah is more beautiful already. Even though the food didn't come out right, you missed a bit of salt, it got burnt, you overcooked it, your Jannah is beautiful. You haven't lost. Start again and intend Allah. Allah wants to grow you and build you another palace in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. If you thought that by me redoing this, I'm going to get another palace, will you complain or will you smile? You'll smile. So remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. The first eye, and that is the eye of success. The eye of ikhlas is the first eye of success. The second eye, my dear brothers and sisters, very quickly, that I want you to take with you, is the eye of ihsan and excellence. Why is it the second eye of success? Because if you are living for Allah and doing for Allah, then you can't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything but excellence. Because Allah does not deserve anything except the what? The what? The best. The best. You know, if you're doing something for your parents, or you're buying a gift for somebody you love, you make sure that that gift is the best gift you can find. Why? Because this person is special to me. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who you intend behind that which you do, the quality of it has to be excellent. Your motto should be, excellence is the minimum requirement. You must understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. And this is ihsan, right? And Allah has written excellence in everything. And Allah has told us in His book, وَأَحْسِنْ, and be excellent. كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been excellent to you. And indeed Allah has. Allah has been excellent to us. And He has made us from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Him to make us die as Muslims so we get into the greatest Jannah. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. So this is the second eye, the eye of ihsan. It's the second eye of success. The third eye, my dear brothers and sisters, is the eye of istiqamah. This is the third eye of success. The eye of istiqamah. What does istiqamah mean? To be steadfast. If you want to be from the successful, you have to be steadfast. You have to be steadfast. You have to persevere. You have to be steadfast. It cannot be that today I live for Allah, tomorrow for something else. Today my study is for Allah, tomorrow for something else. Today I intend Allah, tomorrow I intend something else. No. You have to persevere and be persistent in only intending Allah. And you have to be persistent in being excellent. It can't be that today I'm excellent, tomorrow I'm mediocre. Today my salah is very good, tomorrow it's mediocre. The next day it's very poor. May Allah forgive us. You have to persevere. You have to persevere. And when you persevere, or when I say you must persevere, this also includes seeking forgiveness from Allah. Why? Because you know you're weak. You know that salah is going to have a thought which you shouldn't have had. You know that you're going to have an off day. Right? But because you love Allah so much, and you intend Allah so much, you turn to Allah and you ask for forgiveness. Because you know that no matter how much I try, I am always weak. Right? And seeking forgiveness is from being steadfast. And that is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah gave one man a command that no other man on the face of this earth will ever receive. To build one thing. And this thing can never be built again. And for this thing to be built in one place, and no other place can have this thing. Which is this thing? The Kaaba, the house of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Does he have competition? No. It's not like us, we have competition. People are paying zakah, people are going for hajj, people are fasting, people are praying. No competition. A specific command to a specific man to do a specific thing in a specific place. And he builds the Kaaba with his son. What does he do afterwards? Does he say, let's have a party? No. He says, Rabbana taqabbal minna. They say, him and his son, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. That, oh our Lord, accept from us. Meaning, forgive us and accept from us. Because you deserve excellence. And we've tried our best. Ya Allah, accept from us. Indeed, you are the all-hearing and the all-knowledgeable. Subhanallah. The famous hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Ramadan. We know, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if I witness Laylatul Qadr, what should I ask Allah for? What did he tell her? She's been fasting the whole month. She's been praying the whole month. She's been giving charity the whole month. And we know she was one of the best who gave charity. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was excellent in charity. She would give as much as she could. You know, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he slaughtered two rams, white and black in color, with horns. Kabshayni amlahayni aqranayn, as we find in the sunnah. And then he told Aisha radiallahu anha, I'm going out, distribute the meat. Distribute the meat. And then he came back after some time. When he came back after some time, he told Aisha radiallahu anha, oh Aisha, what remains? What remains? She was so excited. She says, Ya Rasulullah, nothing remains except the shoulder. Nothing remains except the shoulder. Meaning she's excited to say, in the short time you've given me, I've given everything away. I've only kept the shoulder because I want to cook it for us to eat. This is what she's saying. Nothing remains except the shoulder. So he tells her, oh Aisha, don't say nothing remains except the shoulder. Say everything remains except the shoulder. Everything remains except the shoulder. Because what you gave for the sake of Allah will remain. And what we eat, that will disappear. Allahu Akbar. Look how, what a wonderful teacher Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. But coming to the point, she was excellent in charity. And she's doing all these acts of worship. And then she says, oh Prophet of Allah, give me something to do special. You my husband, give me a unique act of worship to do on the day, on the night of power. He says, oh Aisha, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Allahu Akbar. Say, oh Allah, indeed you love to efface our sins, so efface and forgive our sins. Subhanallah. He tells her, you've done all this, now go ask Allah for forgiveness. Why? Because seeking forgiveness is from being excellent. My dear brothers and sisters, these are the three formulas for success, and these are the three eyes of success that you should attach to the three formulas we shared. The last thing I'm going to say before I finish is, my dear brothers and sisters, in the Philippines, I love you all for the sake of Allah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you all. And from my heart, I want to tell you, never ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never lose hope in Allah. No matter how old you are, irrespective of how bad your past has been, irrespective of how bad your year has been, irrespective of the size of the sin that you've done, my message to you is, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And return to Allah and seek forgiveness from Allah and repent to Allah and don't lose hope in Allah, O servants of Allah, so that perhaps you may be from the successful. Don't lose hope. For it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said in a hadith Qudsi, يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. That, O son of Adam, which includes the daughters of Adam as well, indeed you sin in the day and you sin at night, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who forgives all sins. So seek forgiveness from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Allah doesn't say, I'll forgive you. Allah says, consider yourself forgiven. There's a difference, my dear brothers and sisters. Allah is telling us, seek forgiveness and don't doubt. Don't say, maybe Allah has forgiven me. Maybe He hasn't. I don't know. Allah is saying, seek forgiveness and get up from the place that you asked Allah to forgive you, believing that you are forgiven and your situation is as it was before you did the sin. Subhanallah. This is what Allah says. Allah says, Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك أنان السماء ثم استغفرت لي لغفرتها لك ولا أبالي. That, O son of Adam, if you sinned, that your sins were so many and filled up the atmosphere that you live in. Imagine filling up the skies. That's how many sins you have. Allah says, ثم استغفرت لي. Then you sought forgiveness from me. لَغَفَرْتُهَا لَكْ. I will forgive your sins for you. وَلَا أُبَالِي. And it won't even matter to me. Allah says, it's easy for Allah to forgive your sins. It's nothing. Allah says, ask me for forgiveness. And I'll forgive your sins for you. وَلَا أُبَالِي. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who says, نَبِّعْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. It is Allah who says, inform my slaves that Allah, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to end with an ayah in Surah Zumar. This ayah, the scholar says, the ayah of hope. Whenever you're feeling down, whenever you feel success is something beyond you, Jannah is something beyond you, you feel it's impossible. There's an ayah in Surah Zumar. The scholars have said it's the ayah of hope. This is the ayah you go to when shaitan makes you sad. In it, Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, inform my servants, all those who have oppressed themselves, they've done a lot of sin. The angel of death could be knocking them, and the entire life before it was sin. They feel as if they have lost all hope. Tell them, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Indeed, Allah will forgive all your sins quicker than the blink of an eye. Allah will forgive them all. إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Indeed, is the most forgiving, the most merciful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. Ameen. And may He grant us a death whilst He's pleased with us, and grant us a grave which is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. May Allah send angels from Jannah the day we die to collect our soul. And may Allah gather us underneath His throne on the day of Qiyamah, as He has gathered us here in Manila today. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us our book of deeds in our right hands. And may Allah not only grant us Jannah, but grant us Jannah with Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us palaces next to His palaces, and grant us the opportunity to sit down with Him and tell Him about one fine, humid, windy, rainy, scary afternoon in October during the year 1437, the new Hijri year, or during the year 2015, where we came together for the sake of Allah and revised matters taught to us from the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us that. Ameen. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Jazakumullahu khairan for your attentive ear and for your sitting and for being a wonderful student or for being wonderful students. Wallahi, I'm sincerely touched and I pray that Allah doesn't make my standing in front of you the last one. Hada wallahu a'lam. Everything correct said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He's perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness until I stand before you later on today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.